Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
So I was telling you before the show, I kind of checked out of domestic politics a little bit this week because it's making me mad. Like all the news that, you know, is coming out is generally pretty shitty. And there's a lot of like international stuff that's going on that's more interesting right now.
Sure.
And I was reminded of why domestic politics are driving me insane just tonight. Shortly before we recorded, because I saw a fun exchange in the Senate.
Oh, boy.
Where Tom Cotton, noted dickhead senator from Arkansas, was on the floor of the Senate. And he was talking about, like, oh, the First Step Act is one of the worst things the Democrats have ever done. It's led to insane amounts of crime. Skyrocketing crime statistics are going through the roof. It's crazy. Like, it's all Democrats' fault. I can't believe they passed this. And Dick Durbin was there, and he's like, hang on a second. The First Step Act, he's like, you guys were in power when that law was, when that bill was passed. It was co-sponsored and voted on by tons of Republicans, like Mike Lee,
like
Chuck
Grassley. Like hardcore Republicans.
Yeah. Like, he's like, and then, like, it got passed on a bipartisan support in the Senate. And it was signed into law by Donald Trump. He's like, so what the fuck are you talking about? Democrats ruined things the First Step Act. And then fucking Tom Cotton was like, oh, the First Step Act's the worst thing that the Trump administration did. But it's Democrats' fault that, you know, I'm just like the level to which these assholes can just come up here and tell blatant lies. There was also, you know, reporting today on questioning that they were delivering at a circuit court nominee that Biden put up today. And this woman who was nominated spent like,
yeah, I saw this,
20 years as someone working for like one of these like innocence projects where she was helping.
No, literally it's called the innocence project. Yeah.
And where she worked to, you know, free and overturn the convictions of people that were convicted of serious crimes wrongly, like were the
murder
system
and rape.
Yeah,
those are the big,
like,
ones.
People that were on death row,
right?
And the system fucked up and convicted them wrongly because like there wasn't DNA evidence available at the time, and this that, or the other thing, and like Tom Cotton and Ted Cruz are both just like sitting there like, you're the reason why crime is going through the roof right now. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Like, their entire job is proving that the system is flawed and letting out people who are innocent. That's not a bad thing. That's how the system should, in fact, work.
Yeah.
The Innocence Project is solely designed to help people who've been railroaded by the system. Not to just go in and grab criminals and be like, yeah, just get out of here. Like, we're politicizing the Innocence Project now?
Yes.
Like, normally, everyone is like, yeah, I mean, like, that dude's innocent. Like, let that guy out of jail. Like, no one who is like, no, fuck that guy. If the evidence proves that guy's innocent, let him out.
Yeah, and like they kept bringing up like different examples and stuff like that. And she's like, yeah, she's like, we found DNA evidence that definitively exonerated these people. And like Tom Cotton's in there, he's like, well, but there was eyewitness testimony. And she's like, yeah, she's like, eyewitness testimony is like the leading cause of wrongful convictions in this fucking country. Like,
do you know the amount of times people cannot remember something that happens right next to them? Like, your adrenaline is going, you got all these people asking you all these different questions. People forget. People assume other people look like other people, dude. That happens a lot. Oh, it was that guy. Like, no, dude, it was not that guy at all. That happens all the time.
Yeah. And again, just like you see stuff coming out of Fox, like just the blatant fucking just lying. The blatant just like fabricating of stories out of absolutely nothing that Republicans are able to do without consequence.
Yeah.
Is just mind numbing. It's mind numbingly stupid. Like, we're not going to talk about the Canadian trucker protest. Like, it's fascinating to me to watch Fox like ride so hard for these Canadian truckers who are like a minority of people. Like, 90% of truckers in Canada are vaccinated. Like, it, like these people right. are just petulant babies that are crying because I don't want to get vaccinated and the prime minister's making me. And like, it, like that's why they're like, they're just being whiny bitches.
Right.
About the entire thing. But Republicans are like, oh my God, like I so badly want a White Lives Matter protest to happen in the United States. Like they're trying to like will it into existence. Yeah, in the US.
Right. I saw Rand Paul was like, I hope they come down here. I'm like, you hope that a bunch of people in trucks come and block off
yeah.
major parts of this country into cities. Dude, like, I know you live in Kentucky, and I know, like, the worst thing you fear is, like, your neighbor coming over and, like, breaking another rib. Right, which, you know, shout out to that neighbor. You know, like, that's just good work. But, like, yo, this is America, yo. We will light those trucks on fire, yo. Like, don't do that. Like, they won't stop us. Yes, they will. You keep playing.
Meanwhile, the protests are affecting, like, trucking commerce across the border, which is affecting the U.S. negatively. Like, it's having a negative impact on our country.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is these are the same, like, the same people who are like, yeah, we'd love to see that happen here are also the same people who are like, I went to a grocery store the day they were restocking and look how many empty shelves there are. Like, and yelling about the supply chain. It's like, but you want that to get fucked up. That's bullshit.
Or they're the people that are like, oh, if you're protesting and people are blocking the street, just like run them over with your car.
Right. Like, remember, they tried to pass that law, I believe in Florida, that like you're allowed to like hit people with your car if like, if you feel like maybe they're stopping you from like getting to work, it's like, dude, that's not okay. Like that's cool.
Let's pass the if this truck's blocking the intersection, let's throw a Molotov cocktail at it. Let's call it the Molotov Wall. It'll be great. It's gonna be
awesome. Hey, look, let me tell you something. It don't even have to be a law. They will burn those trucks, dude. They will burn those trucks to the ground, dude. Like you're not gonna just park your convoy in the middle of New York City and block people from like living their lives. I can guarantee you that truck will get torched in an afternoon. Like, people are not going to put up with that shit. Like, look, they're real nice in Canada. They're real nice.
They're not even, but it's just so funny because they're not even trying to be clever or they're not even trying to have like an ulterior, like a deceitful undercurrent to what they're saying. Like the dog whistles are out the window at this point.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like, you know, like Republicans were upset during the Super Bowl halftime show because Eminem took a knee, even after the NFL told him not to, which is hilarious.
Which, but by the way, like, if you're the NFL, what are you doing? Why even bother telling him not to? That just equals, I'm going to do it. He's Eminem. You're like, that's his whole thing. It's like, I'm a fucking dickhead troll. I'm 100% going to do this.
But it's like, wait a second, Republicans. Like, was Eminem performing the national anthem when he took that knee? Is that why you're upset? Oh, no. You're just upset because you understand that the knee is a form of protest calling attention to the mistreatment of black people in this country. So it wasn't really about the anthem after all, was it?
No, shocking. It wasn't. And then there's also like the other people who are like, oh, now I support this because Eminem did it. And I'm like, dude, those people are actually worse than Republicans, like, you know, basically giving up the ghost that it was just about, you know, it being about black lives. That's why they're upset about it. Those people are somehow worse. They're like, oh, now I'm cool with it. Oh, you weren't cool with it? The people being affected were telling you about it? All right, thanks. Go fuck yourself. Like, that's awful. So, look, I mean, I don't have a problem with Eminem kneeling. Didn't bother me. I'm like, that's cool. I would argue that Eminem owes his entire career to black people and black music, so it makes sense. Everyone who's close to Eminem is, in fact, black. So, yeah, he probably cares if his friends get attacked and shot. Like,
very much so. But yeah, but it's just the blatant, like, you know, watching Republicans just try to continue stoking. And again, it's not even like, at least before, like they were trying to be coy about, you know, covering up their dog whistles. And now, as the saying goes, it's just a bullhorn at this point. They're not even really trying that hard. But yet their supporters or people that are sympathetic to them just continue on voting for dumb shit because either they fully support it or again, tax cuts are more important than anything else going on in the white grievance party. So you got that going for you. Yeah. Somehow Biden's at 40% approval because gas is 30 cents higher. So
Yep, definitely his fault.
America.
That's exactly how... I love how Republicans care about inflation.
Okay, guys. Yeah, corporate profits are through the roof. You guys should be fucking thrilled. You guys are probably jerking off to the S&P every night.
Right. Like, dude, they don't give a shit about inflation. They're just using that as a term. They're just using it as a term to get Republicans riled up about it. Like, here's the thing. Most people don't care about inflation.
Yeah.
They don't. They don't care about it. Nor do... Most people don't even know what it is. Right? They're just like, gas prices are high. Let's blame the president. But it's not the president's fault whether gas prices are high or low. Doesn't fucking matter, bro. I'm upset. Like, all right, cool. I get it. I mean, I get it. But it has nothing to do with that. Which... we'll talk about later because someone who I like thinks that there's a magic bullet to help the Democrats win the midterm election. And your heart's in the right place, but you're 100% wrong. you're 100% wrong.
Lacey, we'll talk about it when we get there. I think that person is right in the spirit, but we're not thinking about it in a logical sense. But we're going to get there. That's called a tease.
Yeah,
for you guys that aren't in the biz.
That's right. Yeah, coming up next, season finale. All right, next. First up, Biden orders release of Trump's White House visitor logs to Congress.
Specifically, assuming they're not flushed down a toilet at this point.
Well, no, this information they actually had. They didn't have to go to Mar-a-Lago to get it.
Good.
That fucking asshole. Why don't you come and get it from me? No. So Joe Biden has ordered the release of the visitor logs to the Jan 6 House Committee. So basically the idea here is that Trump wanted these things protected under executive privilege. And specifically, they're going after the visitor logs on January 6th, right?
Because
they want to know who came and went out of the White House on that particular day, which I think is like – reasonably relevant. I don't know that you're going to find any like smoking gun on that, but I find it weird that Trump and or any president, right, wants to ever hide visitor logs. Like, I just find it weird.
Like, I mean, the Obama administration famously, like, weren't they like the first in a while to publicly release them?
They were, because the Bush administration was like notorious for like never giving that shit up. And I think they had to do like FOIA like applications or whatever, or FOIA requests to get some of them. But I think the Bush administration, for the most part, was like, no, we're not giving up anything. Like, which is weird. Again, very weird. Like, I assume just do your dirt over Zoom, dude. You don't have to have them coming into the White House to do the dirt. It seems odd, but whatever.
I mean, this is coming from the dude who fucking doesn't use email.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's how all my friends got caught doing crime. So I don't use email. You're saying the quiet part loud. Like, okay, I don't use email, so I don't go to jail. All right, got it. So, look, I think it's mildly important. I do like the reason why I want to kind of talk about it for a bit is I do like Biden's attitude here, which is every time Trump is like, executive privilege, Biden's like, go fuck yourself. And I like that energy. It's like, no, I'm just gonna give this shit up. Cause what? It doesn't do him any harm. It's likely not going to be any sort of like bombshell thing unless there's like top insurrectionist went and visited Donald Trump in the White House logs. Like, that, if that came out, then it'd be like, okay, well, this is a big deal. But I doubt it, right? Like, I seriously doubt it. But considering how brazen these guys are, maybe. Like, you never know. Like, you know, guy is head of the Oath Keepers.
Honestly.
Like, I mean, we know for a fact that they met with a lot of these, like, the bigger insurrections, not necessarily like the Oath Keeper kind of guys, but some of the bigger, like, Proud Boy type folks. And, you know, on that level, they met with some of the bigger names at, like, that hotel, like, not too far from the White House. So, like, we know – or from the Capitol. Like, so we know that those things happen. Maybe in the – you know, in the few weeks beforehand, like, there might have been some White House visits. We don't know. But, again, it's mildly interesting. But I do like – again, I do like Biden's perspective here, which is, like, nah, we're giving all that information up. And apparently, it says in this article, that Biden on a monthly basis, they give up all, they publicize all of their records.
Because what the fuck do they have to hide? Like that's the thing, is that people like to always project, like the people that like the both sides politics project the worst of one party onto both, because they think, well, if one side is doing it naturally, the other side has to be.
Right.
And that's the thing, like with any government records or like this, if you're not doing dirty shit, you don't got to worry about hiding this stuff. Like, you should want it to be public facing and accountable if you're on the up and up. If you're not on the up and up, then I totally fucking understand why you're trying to keep this shit hidden as much as you possibly can.
We can't have Henry Kissinger again. This guy keeps coming in. Like,
But then you have people that still will like look at that. And like you said, that the Biden's, you know, the Biden White House is publishing their visitor logs and making everything very forward facing. But you'll still have people that'll be like, oh, but I'm sure there's stuff that they're not publishing, that they're omitting and hide. I'm just like, no, like it's not.
It's the visitor logs, dude.
They're not all the same. Like, they're not the same.
They're not all the same. And look, there's plenty of issues to have with the Biden administration. But, like, yeah, they're not all the same on everything. But, yeah, so good. I think this is smart money for the Biden administration. All right, let's talk about the big bombshell this week. Look, Brad, it's such a bombshell. Brad has left his box.
I know, yeah. I want to make sure that I wasn't in the Durham report. So I had to double check before we. So you're going to have to walk me through this, because I have purposefully avoided this, because all I saw was Donald Trump, Republicans, John Durham, and then Hillary
buzzword.
Clinton.
Yeah, buzzword. Boom, Hillary
Clinton. And as soon as I saw Hillary Clinton, I'm like, this has to be a giant helping of fucking horse dung that doesn't need any attention. But Republicans want to talk about it, so I'm sure it's full of garbage.
Yeah, well, it is. So, like, what's interesting about the Durham report is, right, like, John Durham has been working on this report for 2 years, I suppose, mm-hmm. right? Like, he was there during the Trump administration. Like, he was going to be the guy, right? They were like, we got John Durham. He's an up and, stand-up guy. Bill Barr hired him to do this report. It's like, he's going to fucking deliver for us. And then it was like, he's going to deliver for us. And he's going to deliver for us. And John Durham is like, TikTok, dude, I'm working. Like, I'm not going to have this bullshit report done by the time you want it to be done. And then Bill Barr is like, I quit. And so he bounced. Trump was, booted out of office, and Durham was still working on this thing, right? Which is weird, by the way. It's very strange.
Yeah.
But what happened is the Durham report basically, like, Republicans are all in, as this article says, are in a tizzy about this, because they think, like, we got Hillary Clinton dead to rights. And here's the thing, you don't, because there isn't anything. Basically, what happened is Durham releases this report that he filed a pretrial motion alleging that Michael A. Sussman, a cybersecurity prosecutor, lied about his connections to the Clinton campaign in a September 2016 meeting with the FBI, in which Sussman provided testimony about Trump's alleged ties with Russia. These alleged ties, according to the Washington Post, involved, quote, possible evidence of a secret communication channel between the computer servers associated with the Trump Organization and Alpha Bank, a Kremlin-linked financial institution, right? We all remember that story, which is like the Trump Organization had this computer or this server that was getting a bunch of pings from this particular Kremlin-linked bank. And nothing has really come of that, which is a shame, because I'd really love to know what the fuck that was about. I mean, I think it's probably fairly obvious what it's about, but you'd like to have definitive information before you run with it, right? And many people have been asking. Durham's report is about this guy who, like it said, lied about his, I guess, whatever connections he had to the Clinton campaign. Republicans have just filled in all of that information with Hillary Clinton campaign was spying on Donald Trump because this guy was, in fact, connected to her, right? The motion also claims that in February 2017, Sussman told the FBI that one of his own clients, technology executive Rodney Joff, whose company apparently maintained an internet-related servers for the White House at one point, exploited his access to the servers to dig up dirt on Trump. So So again, they are taking the fact that he said that one of his clients was trying to dig dirt up on Trump, and the other point that he had some association with the Clinton campaign. They're just lumping all of that together based on nothing. Just based on, there's nothing. That's why even the article is like, this is a nothing burger, because there is no direct tie between those two parties. There's not. Keep in mind, people are digging dirt up on Trump and Clinton all at the same time because they're the two people running for president. Yes. You don't know who they're being paid by. You don't know what their motives are, right? Like the report that was like, oh, we got all this dirt on Trump was originally like the Steele report was originally commissioned by Republicans. Mm-hmm. It wasn't commissioned by the Clintons or the Clinton campaign initially. They took it over when that Republican, the Republicans who started that were like, ah, we're good. Basically, they were like, we're not going to be able to beat this guy. And the Clinton campaign was like, we'll still pay to get this Steele dossier done. But that doesn't mean they're influencing what he finds. Mm-hmm. And also, again, they're not the ones who initiated it. So even Republicans will go after other Republicans to get dirt. That's politics. Like,
yeah.
That's opposition research. That makes sense. It's what they find that's important, not that they tried to find something. Like, if they didn't make it up and they found out that you're a fucking murderer, dude, the bigger story is that you're a murderer, not that they went and found out that you're a murderer. That's horseshit logic. How dare you go look up the fact that I killed a guy? Like, but did you kill a guy? Well, yeah, but that's like, you weren't supposed to know that. Like,
here's what I'm hearing in everything that you've just told me here. You're telling me that if Republicans take back at least one of the chambers of Congress, they are immediately going to open like a special investigation into the fucking Durham report, even though there's absolutely 100%. Nothing there.
Dude, naturally. Even the article says, even though Durham never directly said in his motion that Clinton coordinated a campaign to spy on Trump through Joff, the New York Times noted conservatives have been quick to draw such conclusions, accusing liberal media of being biased for not covering the alleged scandal. Yes, Fox News literally had like...
I saw that graphic.
They're like, no like, one's talking about it.
Here's how many times it was mentioned on these. It was like zeros all the way across. Meanwhile, I think I heard Fox News covered it for like 15 hours. Over the past week, which
Sean Hannity literally said, this is worse than Watergate.
Wow. Sean Hannity said that.
Yeah. I wonder if he got that quote from Zero Hedge or whatever other bullshit news organization Republicans read.
The Republican Party is projection. Like, it's all projection. Like, because you could argue that, you know, both Trump impeachments, maybe not the first one, like the first one maybe on par with Watergate, little apples and oranges, just mm-hmm. because like it had to do with helping or not helping a foreign ally.
Yeah.
Second impeachment, definitely way worse than Watergate. like 100%, like you try to institute a coup to keep your power
right
in the country. But again, Republicans, man, they just
can't stop.
I mean, like, oh, I mean, again, as it pertains to Hillary Clinton, as the old adage goes, if at first you don't succeed, try 15 times and maybe, you know, you might be successful kind of once, as they say.
I just find it incredibly interesting that they're just like, I don't know, man, like, why don't we just drudge up some Hillary Clinton shit? Spoiler alert, it's not happenstance. They're doing it because the midterms are coming up.
Of course. Hillary Clinton, or as someone posited, they're worried about what shoe is about to drop from the January 6th commission. So they're trying to, as Steve Bannon likes to say, flood the zone with bullshit to give it a softer landing, essentially. Yeah.
Look, that's not what they should be worried about. Like, I get it. Like, oh, the Jan 6th committee, like, yeah, there might be some bombshells in there. At this point, like, and you're going to need some information of like Trump was like, go kill those people. Like, you need that, right? Because the rest of it is always going to get sort of soft shooed away because people are just like, oh, yeah, we know Trump is a fucking traitor to the country. Like, whatever. Like people have somehow like become really accustomed to this information and they don't make as big of a deal about it. But I think what they should be worried about, the Trump folks, what they should be worried about is what's going on in New York. And I think this week showed that Trump, he cares a little bit, because he wrote that fucking 4-page thing. It was like, no, I have a lot of money. I'm worth a lot of money. And I have assets you don't even know about that are worth more than anything in these other reports. And it's like, so you didn't report those? Like, whatever. I'm very rich. I have a lot of money. My penis is very large, right? Like, it's so I think, like, they should legitimately be worried about those financial disclosure issues in New York more than anything right now. But they're playing the old hits, right? They know that nothing gets Republicans more riled up than a Hillary Clinton fake scandal. Like, they love it. They love that shit. So if they can, like, Hillary Clinton is in the toaster with Obama spying on Trump, figuring out his fucking shit, which to me is so silly. Dude, you beat her. How many times are you going to keep bringing up the fact that, right, in quotes, but like how many times are you going to bring it up? Like, how many times are you going to bring it up that you know, this woman went after you, but you beat her? Like, so you're just like, you're whining like a sore winner at that point. Like, it's just really weird.
I just, again, it still boggles the mind how Republicans are so earnest to hitch their wagon to a dude that lost two elections by a combined 10 million votes, which is unheard of in this country. Yeah. And, like, you know, the story came out, like, Mitch McConnell's trying to fucking, like, back channel support away from Trump, like, trying to convince people, like, oh yeah, you don't have to be worried about Donald Trump. Like you don't have to be scared of him. But yeah, like, people are just like, riding for a loser, man. I mean,
right. Again, but even the polls out. The polls are like, yo, don't run. Dude, we don't want you to run. Like,
what do we expect from a constituency who still, you know, fly the flag of one of history's great losers 160 years later? So,
right. Can't get over it.
Love people? They fucking love people who take L's all the time.
They do.
Love
they
it.
The GOP loves a loser. They do, man. They do.
There you go. There's your show title this week.
Write it down. So yeah, it's interesting, but yeah, the Durham report seems to be 2022's nothing burger. But we'll see. Actually, we won't see. It's nothing. Like, it isn't anything. It will remain to be seen whether or not, like, news organizations go ahead.
They're literally going to try to run one of their planks in the midterms is literally going to be, let's try to hold Hillary Clinton accountable. Okay. In the year of our God, 2022.
Like, let it go, dude. Like, you going with lock her up again? Please go with lock her up. Because I want you to start chanting that shit so we can turn it around Ivanka. Please.
I wonder what nonsense scandal they're going to try to gin up right before the election. Because, like, 2018, we had the caravan.
Oh, remember, right.
You know, like 2020, you know, it was whatever the fuck. Like, it was Hunter Biden. Like what's going to be right. What's going to be the nonsense, like, fucking fear monger that they throw out at voters?
That's a good guess. I'll have to think about that. Yeah. Think about that. Like, it's gotta be like Biden dementia, right? Like, they gotta go. You gotta swing for the fence.
Maybe Biden dementia. Like, maybe they're gonna, like, lean heavy on, like, crime stats, especially if, like, crime continues to, you know, be up over last year. Which, again, you know, people forget that we've basically been locked down for the most part in a pandemic for 2 years. So might have a little something to do with it. But
right, and know, also you're moving into. You're working on year three of people not having jobs and,
like, yeah,
normal gainful employment. So people are just like, yeah, I guess I'm just going to rob this guy. Like,
yeah.
I need money. I got to feed my family.
So maybe they'll lean extra heavy because they're already kind of tuning up the band for that now. Like I feel like they're trying to get that message out there,
yeah,
as much as they possibly can.
So. Look, if they can get a Hillary Clinton scandal, like, piping hot, oh, that one's coming right out of the oven, right, like, right at midterms. Like, there it is. Remember this? Old hits, man. They love it. But they love a Hillary Clinton scandal, man. They are obsessed with that woman. She will be dead and gone, and they will still be talking about her. They will still be talking about her.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Amazing. Amazing. Here's a really sad story swung into a positive. Sandy Hook families settle $73 million with gun maker Remington. I don't think that that headline is not very good. Remington settled with the Sandy Hook families and paid out $73 million is how that should be read. Cause that's what happened. The families of the nine victims of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting announced Tuesday that they agreed to a $73 million settlement of their lawsuit against the rifle manufacturer Remington. After it was Remington was used to kill 20 first graders and six educators in 2012. That's how long they've been fighting, by the way, for 10 years to hold Remington accountable.
Well, the lawsuit, they filed that in 2015, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, that's insane, right? So what's interesting about this, and I didn't know the details of this case until today, the reason the families won is basically – so there's a federal law that stops you from suing a gun manufacturer if one of their weapons is used to kill someone, right? You can't win on that. However, how they got around it is Remington has all of these advertisements about like – Remington, like here's like an AR-15, like literally an AR-15. They're like Remington AR-15, good enough for the military, good enough for you. So they're like comparing it like, hey, you know what they use an AR-15 for in war is to kill people. Mm-hmm. You can't advertise that it's good enough to kill people in war. So it's good enough to kill people at home is basically the implication, right? Like, and then they had a number of ads like that. And the lawyer for the families was like, that would be like someone, like a car manufacturer saying like, hey, our car, good enough to crash up at NASCAR, good enough for you, right? Like, like the weird implication of like, you could crash into people in a domestic environment. Like, no, that's not how you're supposed to market it. So because they marketed it that way, they had an inroad to basically saying that you're marketing your product as a weapon to kill people. And they're right. Like you are marketing in that way. So a clever move, like a super clever, like legal trick, that I respect greatly, but this is the largest settlement that any gun manufacturer has ever had to pay out. Mm-hmm. Hopefully this is the first of many.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's because you're not.
But then again, I hope it's not the first of many, or I hope it's the last one, because I hope we don't have anything that happens like this. But reality, I hope it's the first of many, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that since, as you mentioned, since there's statutes, you know, preventing people from being held criminally liable, especially for the kind of this kind of stuff, this is the best that you're going to get, which is not much solace at all, but I suppose it's better than nothing.
Right. And look, $73 million is nothing compared to losing your kid. I wouldn't trade my kid for $73 million. There's no amount of money. And especially to never see them grow up, never to, you know, never get to see them again. That's not worth it. So the only thing they can do to hurt Remington is to hit them in the wallet. Right. Like, I'm sure people are like, oh, how much did you really care about your kids? Right. I'm sure there's some conservative gun nut assholes. Like, how much did you care about your kids? You just wanted money. But that's the only way they can hurt them. It is. It quite literally is the only way they can hurt them. But I can guarantee you that brings those people no level of solace that they still lost their kids. And like nothing to me shows less humanity than gun owners arguing that we shouldn't change anything after 20 kids were murdered.
Well, and that, I mean, like, really, like, a
that
lot
to
of,
me is fucking insane. It's insane.
Like the ACA was, you know, a big fight and, you know, like when Obama was elected, but you can argue that like that specific point is like the demarcation point for the country, because like it forced Republicans to basically like, all right, you got to choose a side now. Like, you can either roll hard for this fucking insanity, or you can start to come back towards, you know, towards reality and acknowledge that, hey, maybe there's a problem. There's like fucking insanity, bro. Let's go. Let's fucking ride it out.
Right.
And people and ever still since then. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't fundamentally have an issue. I'm not a gun person. I've shot a gun. Mm-hmm. It's a fucking load of fun. I've really enjoyed it. Like in a fucking certain environment, it's very cool. I got no problems with it, right? I don't have a problem with hunting, whatever. You do your thing. I do have a problem with that sort of like ammo sexual fucking weirdness of like guns, bro, are like better than anything. Like, and I get it. Like, you like guns. It's cool. It's no problem. But if you are looking at the Sandy Hook thing and being like, nah, nothing needs to change. Mm-hmm. I think you might be a psychopath. Like, I think you honestly might be a psychopath that people can look at that story, see those people lose kids, have kids, and still be like, nah, nothing needs to change. No background checks? No mental health checks? None of that? Like, come on. Come on. Like,
I mean, this was about the protests in Canada. That someone said this, but I think it applies to just Republicans writ large. When they say that they care about freedom, they don't mean your freedom. They mean their freedom.
Yeah.
That's all they really care about.
Yeah. And whatever that is on that day.
Yeah.
Right. It's a moving target. So yeah, you're right. I think the death of 20 first graders might be one of the most horrendous fucking things I've ever heard. Like, I mean, I remembered that. And I was just like, how is this fucking real? And the first thing I could think of was like, all right, this is it, right? This is the moment that this country goes, enough. Like, not necessarily like as far as like Australia went, but like enough is enough. We got to have some like real common sense gun reform. This is crazy. Like, nobody is okay with this. No. If they will not change to watch 20 kids die, they will never change. And I'll make it even more fucked up than that. Republicans didn't move when 20 white kids were murdered. These weren't 20 black kids. These weren't 20 Asian kids. These weren't 20 Muslim kids.
It wasn't in the inner city.
Right. It wasn't in the fucking inner city. Right. These were 20 white children. And they were just like, we don't give a fuck. The pro-life party. That should be the party. It's like they should be out in droves, like candlelight vigils. They come on. Like they should have been like, we got to do something. Nothing.
They yelled at Obama for fucking crying during the press conference.
Right.
Where he
a father, dude. He's a father. Yeah. He's a father. All he could think was, and look, I was not a father at the time, but I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine if I was at the time and seeing that story. I'd have been a fucking wreck. Like, I'd have been a wreck. I can't imagine sending, like, I send my kid to daycare every day. I can't imagine hearing that news about my child. I can't imagine.
I mean, just wait until your child tells you about the first active shooter drill that they get to participate in school.
Fucking
really cool.
Insane.
It's really cool. Mine can't tell me about it, but I'm aware that they happen. And right. It fucking tears me up.
Yeah, that they have to go
inside to know that they have to go through that.
It's ridiculous. And I just, like, I don't know. To me, it's one of the most reprehensible things Republicans have ever done. And that's a big list. That's a big list, an ever-growing list. But for them to do nothing and to legitimately fight back against doing common sense gun reform when 20 kids were fucking murdered is unreal. It is unreal. So. Yeah, and to literally make fun of the president because as a dad, he got emotional about it. He should be fucking emotional about it. You should be fucking emotional about it. What the fuck? Dude, you hear that story, you're like, I don't know, get the bread out of the oven. Who gives a shit? You're not fucking sad that 20 fucking innocent elementary school kids were murdered? Get the fuck out of here, man. They were in first grade. They were in first grade. Jesus. Fuck Republicans, dude. Like, that story really makes me mad. Now I wish Remington paid 10 times what they fucking paid these people. Mm-hmm. Like, they should have gone fucking bankrupt. Fuck that company, dude. Fuck them. That sort of really pisses me off. I just cannot believe that we live in a country where 50% of this country would just go, I don't know, whatever. I don't want to lose my rights to own a gun. Dude, you're not going to lose your rights to own a gun. Are you mentally fucking incapable of having a gun? Do you have history of domestic violence? Well, then maybe you will lose your guns. But if you don't, you're fucking fine. Take a test and let's move the fuck on. It's not that hard. Next up, AOC is wrong. I hate to say that, but AOC is wrong. AOC tells Joe Biden, cancel more student loans to have any chance in 2022. Look, I am not under any impression that there is a magic bullet here. There isn't. You could cancel all the student loan debt you want. You could cancel it $50,000 for everybody. You are still going to lose significant amount of seats. You are going to.
I agree with you. If you were to cancel student loan debt in March, I think if you cancel student loan debt in October, I think that makes a significant move. And I'm not saying that this is going to be what it is.
By the way, I agree with you. Timing absolutely matters.
Yeah,
these motherfuckers have the attention span of a gnat. Like they will not remember. I would not be surprised.
Like politics, especially electoral politics, is very much a "what have you done for me lately?" And by lately, I mean last week type of fucking game. I would not be surprised if Joe Biden was keeping a card in his back pocket as sort of a reverse October surprise. Of sorts, to energize folks, just to get people excited.
I mean, look, if you're going to do it, hitting them in October ain't a bad move, man.
I'm just saying. Like, I'm not saying it's right that if they have something big planned that they're going to wait. But I'm just saying that I would not be surprised if they were saving something.
Right. Now, look, if I'm Joe Biden, if that's the case, right? One, I come out immediately to calm people to fuck down. I'm like, moratorium keeps going all the way through 2022. Just calm it down, right? Just pull the pressure down. Everybody's like, okay, I mean, you didn't cancel student loan debt, but like I can breathe, right? Like people feel like they can breathe for a bit, and that's cool, right? It brings the temperature down. People not harping on you. Call AOC, and I'd be like, listen, this is what's happening. Relax. I'm going to need you to get out there. Bring your fire and your fury. Like, bring it. Like, just keep reminding people. Get them fucking amped up. And, like, get them amped up for, like, a specific number. Right? Like, that's what you do. Right? Because it's, like, all of this is, like, non-specific. Like, you better do it. But, like, we don't have specific numbers. Like, what's the number? Right? Like, is it 30,000? Is it 50,000? Whatever. Start ramping the shit up. And I'd be like, if I'm going to cut 50,000, let's say Joe Biden does 50,000. Right? All of this is just, like, goofy speculation. But let's say he's like, I'm going to do $50,000. I have AOC get out there and be like, you better cut $30,000, right? Because when you come in October with 50, you look damn good. Like, AOC only said 30, right? Slightly throws her under the bus, but she'd be okay. Like, she'd be all right, right? She got time.
I don't think she would care.
No, fuck no. It would look great. But, like, that's the type of back channel strategy I want to see from Democrats. Like, they just fight in the open. I'm like, shut the fuck up and talk to each other. Like, off the record. Like, I would love if that's your strategy. Like, use her to amp, because she amps young people up, right? Like, rightfully so. But use her in that way. Like, you could, like, that's a dope fucking game, man. You play that game, will she, won't he type of bullshit. And then in October, you're like, boom. You know, Biden comes.
And again, you have like you have the if you wait till then, and we're talking about this specifically, you wait till then you have the added benefit of daring Republicans to be like, I dare you to fucking file an injunction to stop it from happening right now. I dare you to do it.
Yeah, you can't. And then you can't.
And then if they do, be like, oh, look, like we tried to cancel the student debt, but Republicans don't, like, they want to make sure you pay your student loans.
Yeah.
Those guys, am I right?
Those, yeah. You want to talk about getting young people out to vote. They'd be like, wait, what? You got a chance? Get the fuck out of here. Right? So, yeah, it's, but ultimately, I don't think that there is any one bullet, the magic bullet solution.
No, I think, like I said, I think the biggest chance that Democrats have to either gain or retain what they already have is for the economy to improve, for inflation to kind of settle down a little bit, for COVID to settle down more than it is right now, for there to not be as many cases firing off and things of that nature.
You also need gas prices to come down. You need gas prices to come down.
I mean, but in all honesty, the sooner that COVID becomes endemic, the better off that we all are, because that in itself will ease the economy, because it will get people out more. Like it'll get people less worried to go out and do stuff and spend money on things. Yeah. So,
yeah, I know. I agree with you. I personally look forward to a time where we don't have to worry about the pandemic and whether or not it's going to be a continued nightmare scenario. Like, I look forward to that time where we can just be like, we're done with that. Not a big deal. So, we shall see. We shall see. But, I don't think there is a magic bullet here. I get her point, that it would energize people, but I also agree with you, which is, if you're going to do it, you don't do it now.
No, stupid to do it now.
Yeah.
Stupid to do it now. Like it's because, again, people just don't remember. They don't remember things. You can't campaign on something you did 6 months ago.
They're like, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
You know, it'd be a great way. You know, something they can do now is to fucking stop letting a, fucking $2 trillion infrastructure package that is passed through the House just die on the vine in the Senate. Like, that would be a really good thing that Congress could do right now to energize voters a little bit. So
yeah, so you say.
He's super dope. Super dope. So,
but look, I think if you're talking about like sort of fixing things and putting yourself in the best position in the midterms, student debt is one of them. Again, I don't think it's as clear cut of a winning strategy as people on the left make it out to be, because I think a lot of people in the middle aren't going to be too pleased about it. Like, and I don't think that's fair, right? Like, I am a person who just found out my wife only has like one payment left on her student loans, and I'm like, yes, we're almost through it, baby. But like, I don't want to see young people suffer through that, right? But a lot of people are real pieces of shit. A lot of people are pieces of shit.
That you just saying that is insane to me. And like, I know your wife has an advanced degree, so like, she went to school for a lot longer and for a lot more money than most people did, but that the fact that your wife is still paying student loans
is fucking crazy
at her age, at her in the current position that she holds in her career is batshit fucking insanity.
Yeah, so if you work at McDonald's, you're fucked. It's basically what Brad is saying. You're fucked. Like, and that's not making fun of people murdering at McDonald's. That's just a reality of like what you make compared to what you work.
Again, as time goes along, even though my career progression forward was probably harder and I probably didn't make as much money as I could have or should have in my 20s.
Right.
I probably netted better than
a lot of people. Yeah, no, that's 100% true.
And like I said, it turned out to be more of a blessing than anything that I got to college and realized, you know what? I don't think this is the path forward right now.
This is not for me.
Yeah,
and look, and that's okay, right? It's your student loans are mad expensive.
It's insane.
I think we only have $400 left. I was like, wait, what?
Like, let's pay it right now. let's go.
Yeah, like quite literally.
Yeah.
It's like, fucking let's go get from under this boot of this loan. Oh my God. And it's no, but it's nice. Right. And it's, and like I'm lucky that my master's degree was paid for. Right. So like, I was just, like, we didn't have to pay for that. So it was great. It helps when your wife at the time worked at a college and you're like, I'm going to go to that college to get my master's degree. It's like, it's free. That's great. Is it great? Is it a great degree? I don't really give a shit. It's a free degree. It's fine.
It's a free degree.
It's a free degree. We had to pay like some taxes on it. That shit was nowhere near what people were paying straight up. Yeah, I know that. So, we were fine. Right. And so now we're just about through, or now I guess paid off, like my student loans are all paid off and now hers. So, you know, that's great. Because, you know, having a child is just like a student loan for the rest of your fucking life anyway. So it it's just like compounding interest constantly. Here's a new thing, a new twist on an old shitty move, Brad. Senate Republicans unveil a new tactic to potentially block all Biden nominees, all of them. Fucking hate these guys. An escalation in Republican obstruction of executive branch nominees potentially threatens the ability to get any of Biden administration vacant positions filled, unless Democrats mount a drive to change Senate rules to do so. So the idea here is that, let me pull up this article. The idea is that Republicans will be boycotting committee markups, a typical routine procedure in which legislative actions gets voted on and nominations get advanced. Because of the complicated Senate rules, this makes it effectively impossible to get nominees a vote on the Senate floor, even if the nominee has a 50 Senate vote necessary to be confirmed.
Yes, yeah, so basically you need a quorum in committee in order for the vote to be official. So, given who it is they're trying to block, I think there's two possible motives at play, and it could honestly be both. So the nominee that's being blocked is Sarah Bloom Raskin to be vice chair of the Fed.
Yeah.
Who is a notable financial regulator, also just happens to be the spouse of Congressman Jamie Raskin, the guy that was in charge of the second impeachment. Of Donald Trump. So I would not be shocked at all if there's some political revenge going on there. The other option, and again, it's probably both things to some extent, is the fact that I think they're probably getting Democrats to be the one to change the rule.
Yep.
So that then when they're back in power, they can nominate any insane nominee that they want to, and Democrats wouldn't be able to stop them out of committee from passing these nominees through.
Yep.
For whatever positions they want. That's what it is.
I also think there's yet another aspect to this. I think that they want to create another fight between actual normal Dems and Manchin and Sinema.
But here's the thing, like Sinema is in this committee, is in the banking committee. She voted to advance the nomination. John Tester, also a guy who's a moderate senator on the Democratic side, was in the committee today being like, I think we should vote on this because Republicans aren't showing up to work. Like, they're the ones advocating their post. He's like, this is bullshit. John Tester's saying that. John Tester is no one's fucking progressive. Like,
no,
John
no.
Tester
no,
is a senator from Montana.
Right.
Like that dude's missing half of his hand from a childhood agricultural accident. Like, that dude is fucking country and modern and moderate as you can get. And even he's like, this is fucked up. We need to do something about this.
Right. But I do think, you know, so it says, yeah, the committee held an unofficial roll call on the nominees. All 12 Democrats, including Kyrsten Sinema, who sits on the committee, voted the nominees to be approved for the full Senate vote. Yeah, I know, but I think if it comes down to Republicans forcing the Democrats' hand to change the rules of the Senate, Sinema might be for these nominees, but I'm not so sure that her and Manchin will be on board for changing the Senate rules. And I think that is a fight that they can gin up again inside the Democratic Party with ease. And I think it is dangerous to assume that they would be on board for changing these rules. I think it'd be
that's fair, I guess, to make the assumption that they would not go for it in this case. Again, this is why you don't fucking come out and be like, oh, changing the rules is off limits, because then, you know, the fucking Raptors are going to test the fence and see what they can get away with. Like, it's really fucking dumb.
Well, and it's funny because it weirdly reminds me of, I think it's the first season of Survivor, right? Remember that fucking show? I think it's still on, which is weird. I don't watch TV that often, but not that type of TV anyway. But like, there was a guy on there. He was like, I'm just voting out the person. I just vote in alphabetical order, right? Like, that's just like, that's just how I vote. Well, in the end, he announced that. And in the end, they utilized that against him, used him to vote someone else out. And they're like, and he was just like, well, I don't want to vote out my friend. And they're like, yeah, dumb, dumb. But you already told us how you do it. So we just use that shit against you. And then it made him look like a dick. And then he lost because he should have just voted and kept his fucking mouth shut. So it's the same idea, right? I'm not going to change the rules. All right. Well, then we're going to exploit it. We exploit that fact about you. Now you can either keep doing what you're doing, right, and be a morally sound person, or you can be a hypocrite, and we're gonna call you out about it. And like, do you want to have that fight? So there is a potential here, and I'm sure like they're probably like playing it like if we could play it both ways, we can win. You know, we get to win even if we lose, kind of thing. But my guess is, I wouldn't put all my eggs in the bat in Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin's basket that they're willing to change the rule for this. Now, they might be, because this is Republicans changing the rule, like doing something that they have not done before. That might be a reason to get them on board. Now, if they do get on board with Democrats to change the rule to stop this type of shit, then it does open the door of like, you change the rule once, why won't you change it again?
No, it doesn't.
No, I'm saying for the Democrats to call out Manchin and Sinema.
No, it doesn't. Like, in the midst of them being like, oh, we're not going to change the filibuster, they literally voted to change a threshold. I can't remember what it was for. They voted to change the threshold on some specific carve-out in the Senate after they were like, oh, we're not going to change the filibuster. And they were like, oh, but we'll vote for this thing. And people were like, the fuck? Like I thought
that was different,
Brad. You were going to do this. Yeah. So no, they absolutely could take that. Here's what I know. I know that I feel like I could make a fairly good amount of money playing poker against Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. I have the feeling that they're not very good at disguising the cards in their hand, evidenced by their behavior in the Senate so far over the past several months. So that's what I'd like to do.
This guy's got a pair of twos, like he does. Like, woo! No, I'm fine. I don't have anything. It's okay.
But no, like I really do think, because we saw during the Trump administration that there was some incredibly odious nominees that like they got a lot of shitty people through in a lot of important positions, but there were some people that were even a bridge too far for some of their folks to stomach, and that had Democrats like really being loud about it. And I truly think that if they get back in power, especially if they win back the presidency and get Trump or a Trump-esque piece of shit back there, that this is just to open the door for getting just the worst fucking people you can imagine.
I mean, I don't know
how through on a lot of very important positions.
I mean, it's really funny because I don't know how they could get any worse, but
oh, they could be worse. They could absolutely be worse.
My goodness.
So fun times. Fun times.
Yeah. I saw that story and I was just like, wow, what a bunch of fucking douchebags. Elizabeth Warren is a menace. And that's why she's awesome. That's why she's awesome. God love her. Elizabeth Warren now wants to ban all state lawmakers and elected officials from trading corporate stocks. God damn it. We could have had her as president, man. Come on. That is awesome.
I would have happened by now if she was.
Yeah, it would have. Dude, that hand rub. She was ready to fuck rich people up. Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren, the GOAT, wants to ban all state lawmakers and elected officials from trading individual stocks. And more momentum grows on Capitol Hill to pass a similar measure for members of Congress. We didn't talk about this, but like Pelosi is now like, she's on board because I guess she read the fucking room where they were like,
yeah,
turns out
jumping in front of everyone and saying, hey, this thing that's wildly popular among American citizens, I'm not for it all. And people are like, really? Are you sure you're not for it? Because I'm pretty sure that you could be made to be for it.
And
if
she was like,
if we really wanted you to. And she's like, you know what? I am for it. I think this is a great idea.
I've spent some time with my family to think about it, and I've decided that perhaps I am cool with this. But yeah, she says, Warren says, quote, public officials should remove all conflicts of interest, whether you're on the federal or state level. It's also true whether we're talking about elected officials or sitting judges. Thank you. Judges matter a lot. Gee, I wonder who paid off Brett Kavanaugh's entire debt. Weird.
Well, and that's the thing. Like Pelosi came out and was like, she's like, well, if we do this, she's like, I want to do it like at all levels of government. And meanwhile, the rest of us are just like, don't threaten us with a good time.
Right. Like,
like, yeah, we agree. Absolutely. My favorite reaction from this. My favorite reaction from this. And again, like, he's so close, but he just doesn't realize it. Was from Senator Tommy Tuberville.
Yes, I saw this. I knew that's what you're going to mention. Go ahead.
Who, shockingly, when they released the report of like the most successful senators from an investment standpoint, like who, like senators that outperformed the S&P, did you know that he's like ninth among all
senators?
I didn't
know that, but I knew I knew that he was quite successful. Yes,
to me because he's a fucking idiot. But anyway,
well, all it means is his financial manager.
There you go. He has good financial.
That's all.
But he's like, man, he's like, if they do this, he's like, you're going to really limit like the type of people that you know are going to want to come work in Congress. Like they're gonna send like robots up here because like it's gonna be crazy. But okay. He's just like him being like, oh, you're going to limit who wants to run for Congress. Like, oh, so you mean people that are trying to get government positions just to enrich themselves all of a sudden aren't going to want to be in government if they can't trade stocks. I feel like that's a pretty good goal to strive for.
Yeah.
Tommy
and
Tuberville.
So the whole thing with Tommy Tuberville though, is I'll try to see if I can find the number, but like he apparently had like mad violations, like stock violations in Congress. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Senator Tommy Tuberville had, who has violated stock trading rules 132 times last year, says it's ridiculous to ban lawmakers from trading stock. Really? Tommy Tuberville? No shit. Coach Tuberville. I don't disagree with Warren at all here. I think that it should be like the second you step into government work, you like as a lawmaker or a judge, you should absolutely be banned from this. Like, sorry, not sorry. Like, no.
And I don't understand why it's controversial to think that. Because again, these are people who literally have their finger on the button when it comes to being able to determine laws that change, bills that come through, who gets benefited, who gets harmed, what companies get benefited. They're focused on appointing people to commissions who decide on acquisitions and mergers being legal. Right. They have their hands in so much of this stuff that why you'd want them to have the ability to be influenced.
Right. And not even just the idea of them being able to sort of influence where the things go. They also have just inside information, right?
Yeah.
Like they get reports, they get briefed, like not public briefings, private briefings about, you know, pre-COVID, hey, this is going to be a really big deal. Like we really need to lock down. Da 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 da. That's why that asshole who lost in Georgia to, Raphael Warnock, I forget her name, who was married to the owner of the New York Stock Exchange, right? The guy who runs the New York Stock Exchange. Like, yeah, like she made so much money because she came home from fucking the Senate and was like, hey, why don't we buy a bunch of stock in Cisco and all these VPN companies and all this other shit because we're getting ready to be home for 2 years. Yeah, that was inside information that no one else had. So,
yeah.
No, I mean, it's, to me, it is weird for like Republican voters. How are you possibly in support of Republicans saying, hey, they don't think that this should be affected by
them. Oh, that's like, not surprising at all. Crazy. It's the same fucking game they run to be like, hey, Republican voters, like, you know what really fucking sucks? The estate tax. Like, we got to get rid of that shit. Nice. And people are like, I own like a fucking two-room shack with an outhouse in the backyard. Like, why the fuck do I care about an estate tax? Because it's America. You could lift yourself up by your bootstraps and you could be a gojillionaire one day. You've seen Forrest Gump. He owns a successful shrimping company now. You think he'll be happy not to have the estate tax for his young child that he doesn't have to pay any estate taxes when he passes away?
Finally. Like,
you're right. I have seen Forrest Gump.
I'm Forrest Gump. I too am I'm too a nice idiot from a small town. So like who might make it big? But yeah, it's just that idea of getting poor people to advocate for rich people is weird. Like it's super weird. But yeah, I can't imagine why any reasonable person would look at this and be like, yeah, no, they should definitely be able to trade stocks. No, dude, like they shouldn't. Like the second you, as far as I'm concerned, the second you get into government, any of your investments should go into a blind trust, all of it. And then when you leave office, you get it back. But
yeah,
while you're
in it, like, you know, people, the same people that will be like, oh, like we should definitely let these people trade, you know, are the same people that are like, oh, like people are hanging around in Congress too long. I'm like, if you don't want people to stick around forever, make it not financially great to do it. Like that way, if someone fucking gets there, they're like, oh, you put yourself in blind trust. Like this fucking sucks. Like I'm not making any money. I'm just doing work. Like right. Just serving the public. This stinks. I'm not going to run again.
Right. I didn't sign up for this public job to help people. Get the fuck out of here. Like, yeah. And maybe you'll actually get people who give a shit. Like if you,
yeah.
I mean, the biggest thing, and Warren talked about this during her campaign, the biggest thing is if you get rid of corruption, you will actually get people who care. That's the point, right? Yeah,
are so many people that literally run because there's money to be made in politics.
Big money.
And even when you're done being in politics, there's money to be made lobbying politicians. And like you use all the connections that you got as a political insider to fucking be a lobbyist and make a shitload of money for a long time after. It's not fucking complicated. If you could fucking, and this would go a long way as well to carving out, not as long as, you know, banning lobbying would for a certain period of time after someone gets out of Congress, but it would certainly be helpful with helping blunt the effectiveness of special interests lobbying on behalf to influence policy as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't see the appeal of fighting this. Because it seems so obviously wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like if I'm a Republican voter and I'm listening to like my, you know, potential, you know, congressman say, oh, no, I should be able to trade stocks because it's a free country. And I'd be like, why do you need to trade stocks? You ain't there for that. Like, you're not there for that. Like, they've found that some of these guys are like day traders. Like, they're like, they're trading stock during the day while they're working. Like, it's one thing to just be like, hey, cool. Just got out of this committee meeting. Yo, we're about to get paid. So let's rock and roll. Like, yo, what are you calling your broker for? Yo, get back to work. But they do. They do.
I feel like I need, and again, whenever stories like this come up, I feel like that I need to evoke our long lost friend, Andy. And let me back up for the microphone. They made Jimmy Carter sell his peanut farm.
They did. That poor bastard. That poor bastard. That's all he had. They made him sell that shit because they didn't want to have him as president having an outsized influence in the peanut game. Right? Like everyone's like, I gotta get that Jimmy Carter peanuts. Like, okay. Like, how absurd is that? You know? How absurd is that?
And then he got turfed out in 4 years, goddamn right. What a bad fucking deal.
We wouldn't be eating Planters peanuts had Jimmy Carter been able to keep that peanut farm. We would have been eating Carter's peanuts. Like that would have been all the rage all over the country. Anywhere in the world, like people are just buying them up. Yeah, it's just absurd that Republicans would even make the argument against it. It's only the only reason why you would make the argument, Democrats or Republicans, right? Pelosi made an argument against it too. The only reason to make an argument against it is because you just want to make more money off of inside, yeah, basically insider trading, which
what's,
is not
what's
fucking
funny
acceptable.
Is there are Republicans that actually support this legislation.
They
Josh
should.
Hawley, weirdly, Josh Hawley is like, yeah, this is a good idea, of all people.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
fucking asshole.
He's a real piece of shit. But like, he strikes me as a person who thinks he's doing the right thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like I think he thinks he's fighting against corruption. I mean, he's incredibly corrupt, but I feel like he thinks that he's fighting corruption. So it makes sense that he would support this. Yeah. But look, I'll take it. Like, if you want to get Josh Hawley's punk ass on board, that's fine. I hate that guy's guts. You know, hey, keep going with the insurrection.
Did you see he started selling that on a coffee mug?
I did see that. I wish someone would take that coffee mug and smash it over his dumb head.
Dude, if I would absolutely buy the Josh Hawley coffee mug to fucking throw it at his face.
like
the fucking sheriff in Big Lebowski. Like, if I ever saw that fucking guy.
Fuck,
stay
that
out of Congress, deadbeat.
100%. Nobody likes that guy, dude. No one likes Josh Hawley.
Yeah, he fucking sucks.
No. Yeah, he's a super dangerous guy to have anywhere near the levers of power.
Yeah, like he's the guy that everyone thinks asshole. Tom Cotton is. Like, people are like, oh, Tom Cotton would be, you know, Tom Cotton, who has the charisma of a thumb, is like, oh man, we got to really worry about that guy becoming president. I'm like, no, you got to worry about Josh Hawley becoming president because he's Tom Cotton, but he actually has charisma.
Yeah, like, I don't get either one of them, but yes, Hawley 100% has more charisma. Tom Cotton is just boring. He's just boring. Just a boring, boring, boring person. And you're just like, okay, that's cool. Could you just go away? He's like, I could be your president. Like, no. No, you couldn't. No. Not my president. I think it's a good move. I agree with Warren here 100%. Go big or go home, man. Like, look, I know she's not gonna be able to get the states on board, because you would need the local legislatures to agree. But I think pushing the notion is positive. And maybe in some of these blue states, you get that.
And I mean, depending on what Republicans you get to sign on board with this, like, you can market in such a way like that. That's an example of where you can use populism for good. One of the very rare examples where populism can be used for good. But like, if you can find some sympathetic Republicans, you might be able to gin up some work behind it, especially in like poor states, because this is a class debated piece of legislation when you really boil it down. Like, Republicans are very good at taking, you know, lower class voters and turning them, you know, having them turn out for upper class issues, like you mentioned. But if you can market it correctly and find some sympathetic allies, like, you can easily get this in a lot of Republican states, because those states are poor as fuck. And everyone that lives there is poor as fuck.
Right. Like, we don't have stocks, you asshole. Yeah. Like, I mean, these guys are getting stocks? Man, what's a stock? I don't know. Right. So, yeah, no, that's a good point. It is very much a class issue. Yeah, I'm curious. I would be really curious to see how that works. Like in 2024, could Biden use that, like the idea of that, to beat Trump over the head if Trump actually runs and gets the nomination? I wonder.
Well, that's,
I wonder
so
if
that,
it would be
so
effective.
That's what's, well, so that's weirdly, so like, weirdly, it's an impotent fight against Trump, because Trump doesn't strike me, or at least not outwardly, doesn't make a lot of investments. like it's not like he's like playing the market. I'm sure he does, but like, a lot of his money comes from his own personal dealings.
Right.
So, like, I don't know if that is an effective tool against him, because Trump never, like, he likes to tout the stock market, but he doesn't really care. He's like a cheerleader, but he's not a client. I'm sure he is to some regard, like I said, but he's not, you know,
that's not,
look at all this
thing.
Money I'm making from stocks. Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
he's the business guy. Like, he's the guy that makes the businesses and runs them into the ground.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say.
Literally until they implode on themselves. So,
I mean, cool. That's cool. All right. That is, I think that's it. Any late breaking news, Brad? Anything on fire?
No, thank God. Thank God. I continue to watch the Canadian trucker thing with great earnestness because, like, the funniest part about it is, like, the people, like, even, like, conservative legislators in Canada that are, like, getting a little worried because kind of their whole thing, like, because as the conservative movement in Canada has slowly inched more rightward over the past couple of years, mm-hmm. like a lot of the more mainstream conservatives have been like, nothing to worry, nothing to see here, guys. we're not America. Like, we don't need to worry about like a Donald Trump figure coming in,
right?
And so I think like this movement, small though it may be, is actually getting some of them to worry a little bit, because they're seeing like some of the far right wing, you know, mm-hmm. bleeding edge bullshit coming into play, and so they're starting to get a little scared, which is very, very funny to me.
Well, hey, the Proud Boys started up there, so why not? Right? Isn't what's his Gavin, whatever his name is, like that founded the Proud Boys?
Oh, Gavin Newsom. Yeah.
No, not Gavin.
Or not
Newsom.
Gavin Newsom. Gavin McSomething. I can't remember his name. It's like, yeah, there you go. Gavin McGinnis, I think, is his name.
Yeah, Gavin McGinnis, like or something like that. But yeah, he's he started at Vice, and then he was like,
that's
yeah,
so crazy,
so weird. He was like, yeah, Vice, like where we just like, do we want, man, like cool, like ultra liberal and inclusive, you know, like skater mag turn like real like digital magazine, and we're doing like awesome shit. To I'm gonna be a right wing asshole who shoves a dildo up my ass on camera to prove that he's not a homophobe. I'm not making that up. He actually did that. I know you know. That is for people listening. That's mostly for Micah as he's listening because he's always like, yo, these are insane stories. Yeah, that really happened. You can look it up. I mean, like he did that. He was like, see, I'm not homophobe. Oh my God. Like you could just say you're not. You could just say you're not. Like, you don't really need to do it. But, you know, I think maybe you did. I think maybe
if anything,
wanted to.
I feel like that runs counter to. You
know, yeah, it's like. You have a very extreme personality, which tells me maybe, just maybe, you might be a liar. Like, so yeah, like yeah, that guy's Canadian. So there you go, he's a homegrown terrorist.
Thanks, as Canada, fucking assholes.
Yeah, that was not a win, guys. Not a win for you people. So. All right, that's it for us. A slightly shorter show this week, but we will see you guys next week.
Bye.